This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Several national polls say the presidential election is too close to call. The final survey by the Pew Research Center puts the race within the margin for error. If all registered voters are counted, John Kerry leads by a single point, 46-45. Among likely voters in the Pew survey, President Bush leads 48-45.
Now, those are national numbers, but the election will, of course, be decided state by state. Each candidate needs a total of 270 electoral votes to win. And they spent the weekend touching down in as many closely contested states as possible. We have two reports this morning, starting with NPR's Don Gagne.
The president started his Sunday in Florida, flying from Orlando to Miami, where an audience of several thousand cheered as he was introduced by his brother, Florida Governor Jeb Bush.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you our president, George W. Bush.
Polls in Florida show the state that was home to last election's controversial recount to be completely unpredictable at this point, and so it was that the president made a special appeal for votes from Miami's Cuban-American community, an important voting bloc in the state. The president, whose speech here included occasional lines and phrases in Spanish, talked about his commitment to the war on terrorism and of the overthrow of tyrants in Afghanistan and Iraq, before adding this.
And over the next 4 years, we will continue to press hard and ensure that the gift of freedom finally reaches the men and women of Cuba.
And, of course, the criticisms of John Kerry were dominant in the president's appearances yesterday. The president once again scored his opponent as weak on national security and as a man willing to take any position on any issue based on politics. From Miami, the president headed north and across the state to Tampa on Florida's Gulf Coast, where he again ridiculed Kerry for his rationale behind the senator's vote against $87 billion in money for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan last October.
And he did the irresponsible thing. And he voted against the troops. Then he entered the flip-flop Hall of Fame. By saying I actually did vote for the $87 billion right before I voted against it.
There was nothing new from the president yesterday. No mention of Osama bin Laden days after the emergence of a new videotape from the al-Qaeda leader. The simple purpose of campaigning at this stage is to motivate the troops, to fire them up to ensure that the president's supporters get out their vote on Tuesday. In Gainesville, Florida, the president held a later afternoon rally on the tarmac at the local airport. Again, it was a good-sized crowd, and while everyone there was predicting a Bush win in Florida on Tuesday, there was plenty of anxiety over the closeness of the race. Candace Ahrens, a small business owner and a Republican, stood near the back of the crowd and expressed concerns not about winning or losing Tuesday, but about the deep division she sees in the country and in her community.
I think it's going to be close. I expect it's probably going to get ugly in North Florida. It's just going to be a very nasty, contentious neighbor-to-neighbor.
After the Gainesville event, the president left Florida and flew to another closely contested state, Ohio, for a rally at the Cincinnati Reds' new downtown ballpark. The day's strangest moment came just after Air Force One landed at Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Airport. Members of Mr. Bush's senior staff engaged in a Halloween joke at the expense of John Kerry. They emerged from the plane dressed like hunters in camouflage jackets, and two of them, senior political advisor Karl Rove and communications director Dan Bartlett, wore those hunting hats with the flaps that come down over the ears. The explanation to reporters, Bartlett said, quote, "We're duck hunting for Halloween." The outfits were intended to make fun of Senator Kerry, who recently held a photo op while hunting for geese in Ohio. Rove and Bartlett then raised their arms in the air and joined hands to form a giant W, asked for a prediction for Tuesday. They and presidential advisor Karen Hughes all answered, victory. They then boarded the presidential motorcade and headed to the next event. Don Gagne, NPR News, with the Bush campaign in Cincinnati.
This is NPR's Scott Horsley with the Kerry campaign. John Kerry woke up yesterday in Dayton, Ohio, where he attended Mass, took communion, and enjoyed a pancake breakfast at the Golden Nugget. By nightfall, Kerry was in Tampa, Florida, leading a moonlight rally on the banks of the Hillsborough River.
We're asking for every vote, and we're asking for the chance to roll up our sleeves and start to work for you to govern this country with the decency and the vision that it deserves.
Kerry's campaigning in Ohio and Florida includes not only personal appearances, but lots of TV ads. That in itself is a change from 4 years ago, when Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore could not afford to keep advertising in Ohio because he was focusing his limited dollars on Florida. Kerry advisor Tad Devine says this time around, because Democrats raised so much money and conserved it early in the race, they're actually outspending Republicans in these critical final days.
And the reward is this, that unlike 4 years ago, we are taking it to the Republicans in the final days of this campaign. We are beating them decisively in terms of resources in the paid media. And I think in terms of the soft, undecided voters at the end of this race, this resource advantage for us will help us to win some close races in a number of states.
In a campaign day bookended by the electoral jackpots of Ohio and Florida, Kerry also made a bid for one of the smaller prizes. New Hampshire has just 4 electoral votes, compared to 47 for the 2 larger states. But in a national contest this close, every vote counts.
Count every vote! Count every vote!
Some 12,000 New Hampshire residents filled the plaza outside Manchester City Hall yesterday. Betty O'Reilly of Portsmouth arrived 5 hours before the rally started to get a space close to the stage.
New Hampshire's always been a tough one, but I mean, by the looks of this crowd, and I'm very impressed seeing all the young people out, and I think that he really has moved a lot of the young people. So I'm very excited. I'm excited to see all the senior citizens here and the young people, and I certainly hope he does the best here.
Kerry's campaign message continues to combine national security with help for the middle class. His security credentials got some polish yesterday from retired Air Force General Tony McPeak, who says he made a mistake 4 years ago when he campaigned for George Bush. McPeak, who led the air war during Operation Desert Storm, says Kerry has the potential to be a great president and an outstanding commander-in-chief.
I want you to do something for a stronger America. I want you to get your friends collected up. Get them to the polls and get them to vote. I want a stronger America. You want a stronger America. John Kerry is going to give us back a stronger America.
Kerry also touted his proposals for cleaner energy, stem cell research, and health care reform.
45 million Americans have no health care at all. 5 million of them lost that health care while this man was president, and he did nothing about it. No, he did something about it, actually. He made it worse because he stopped those drugs coming in from Canada.
As he headed into the last full day of the campaign, Kerry took a moment to reflect on the odyssey that began 2 years ago, with small gatherings in barns and VFW halls.
We're kind of coming to the end of this road, and I want to tell you what a privilege it has been to run for president, what a privilege it has been to meet all of you.
Kerry will meet more voters today as he makes a final frantic round of swing states before heading home to Boston tomorrow to watch the returns come in. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Orlando, Florida.